brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome. Gather around. Drinks in hand. Chips around or pretzels or crackers or something. Get a comfy chair and...
Maybe some peanuts.
Maybe some peanuts. Mm-hmm. Popcorn.
Never.
Something, yes.
Something tasty.
Something tasty. Because this one... is going to be cool. Everyone, this is a Sud segment where we drink and we know things. Well, okay, we definitely drink and we drink a lot. So we're halfway there. This is going to be such a cool episode. Joining me at the table today for this crazy Know Me episode is good old boy Kendall.
I am so looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
Sparky, good old boy Sparky. Thank you for being here today.
It's great. Well, you said this was a retrospective on Klaus Nomi, but I thought that we were here for something else.
No? Dude, I'm sorry. I got to throw a flag on that one.
Whatever I can do to get you here.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm speaking to your intellectual side. Oh, I'm so happy that... Sorry. I'm like so jazzed.
Man, let's just...
She even has her jazz hands up.
I know.
I do. Got all the
Why
don't jazz
you drink a beer? Who is this guy you're talking to?
What? Good old boy Sean. I'm happy to see you across from me.
I'm happy to see you and everyone else here on the recording.
It's been a bit.
All right. It has been a minute.
Yes. And good old boy Dave, hello.
I have sensitive nipples.
Yep, here we go.
And we're off the rails already.
Yeah. Didn't take long. And who are you?
Who am I? Yes. I'm a very happy good old gal Juliana today. Yes, as you will see with this episode. So today's going to be a knockdown, drag out fight. And no, I don't mean I'm taking good old boy Dave shopping for new pants.
Woohoo!
Thank God. Yeah. No, this is a real fight. And there will be no mercy.
No mercy? Who writes this stuff? Right.
Good boy Dave, if you're not going to try on new pants, can you at least tell us what we're doing today?
All right, let me put on my current pair of pants. Well, recently, good old gal Juliana and I acquired a few beers from Dancing Gnome Brewery. They've been a fixture of the Pittsburgh craft beer scene since they opened in 2016. We were going to just do a brewery takeover and taste a flight of beers.
Boring!
But then we found out that we have a gnome brewery here in Nashville too. Crazy Gnome Brewery opened up in East Nashville in August of 2020. So what would any responsible person do if they got their hands on two gnomes? You guessed it.
Welcome to another edition of Thunder Gnome!
Two shall enter.
Okay.
And Sean broke us.
I just had this like image of Tina Turner with two gnomes, and I just that's where my brain's gonna kinda, be with the rest apart, of like, yeah. Like
we don't need another hero. We just need a gnome.
Or a small hero.
A worthy gnome.
Half a hero.
Two gnomes into one gnome leaves.
Okay, so this is how this is going to go. We're going to do three rounds of blind tastings. The first two rounds will be head-to-head comparison with the same style. The third round will be a freestyle battle royale, where we pit something kind of unique from each brewery and may the best gnome win. I'll give you the lineup after each round, after we taste and rate those beers. Good old boy Sparky, would you please give us the Suds ratings for today?
Oh, boy.
Well, hold on, Sparky.
What?
I brought in a special guest to do the Suds ratings.
A special guest?
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings and our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1. That sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2. Was that a belch? 3. Ah, what a relief. 4. A body should really not make that sound. 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Okay.
I'm just, I'm wondering, where do you have this gnome locked up? Is like he in your garage somewhere?
It's the guy on the table. I had to pay him in beer. That's why he's laying down.
I would just like to point out that it is very impressive that that little guy could still produce at the really loud levels that were
the guttural.
Yeah. That's a lot of volume.
No gnomes were harmed in this podcast episode.
We'll get there.
Just kind of creepy, but okay, we're going with it. So, guess we get to round one, huh? Okay, ladies and gents, in front of you, we have 1A and 1B. They are both red ales. Shall we agree that they are a nice reddish color to start with?
I'm colorblind to red and green, so okay. I'm going to have to. I'm not wearing my special Enchroma glasses.
So one of our super beer brains here, Kendall or Sean or Sparky, tell us a bit about the style, if you don't mind. Throwing you right.
Definitely. Go for it, Sean. I would say it's a malt forward. Yep. Characteristics, caramel malt, usually some sort of bready malts in there as well. And then as I'm recalling, trying to remember when I was brewing a red ale, some of the other things. Sometimes, like, and I'm picking it up on 1A here, feels like there might be a little bit of chocolate malt in there. There's definitely something going on there that's giving it more of a roasty note.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. I don't know, Kendall, any other highlights of the style?
I always get just a lot of caramel, like you mentioned. You can get a lot of toffee too.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at these beers, the one is definitely a little bit darker than the two. And I think you nailed it. I think there might be some other malt in there, like a little, just a touch of chocolate.
Yeah. Well,
but isn't it like with, especially with like an Irish red, right? Like you're supposed to get that roasty finish,
mm-hmm, right,
and kind of a dry. Yeah. But then, like, as with every style, if you throw the word American, like an American red ale, it's just going to be hoppier.
And it tends to be less roasty, more caramelly.
Yeah.
And you really get that from the malts. It's a malt-driven beer, unless you do hop it up a lot. And then, you know, that's where you get your red IPAs coming in. And it does balance out really nice.
Yeah, this is nice. This is very nice and balanced in what I would consider to be more traditional to the style. I mean, personally, when I'm having a red ale, I don't want to be assaulted by hops. I want to focus on the roast and the dry finish.
Yeah.
It's nice to taste the traditional aspect of it, mm-hmm, I think.
I think number two is probably a little more American forward. I'm getting less of the roast, or even less the roastiness, a little more sweetness.
Yes.
But there is some hop out there to balance that sweetness. But, but it is a sweeter beer.
It is. Yes.
And therefore, a little bit lighter in color and comparison.
Less chocolatey, but more.
Yeah. Now with 1A, I'm digging it maybe because I feel like there's a spicy. Am I getting like rye or something like that?
That's very possible too. That's another favorite ingredient in the style.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting a spicy rye. I almost want to say this may be leaning towards like an Irish red versus a true like American red. I mean, I don't know. I haven't divulged or looked into like the specifics of what they're brewing with yet.
Yeah, it's just got a little more flavor overall.
Yeah. And I like the aroma on 1A a little more than 1B. Like, they're still kind of cold, so it's can't totally get it, but I do get more caramel.
I tend to be a little bit more of a traditionalist, and I mean, I'm really digging 1A much more than 1B. I mean, I see where they're going with 1B, but also, like, again, with that style, I want to focus on the dry roastiness, the malts. Like, I'm a malt freak. And,
kinds of freaks.
I am. But really on 1B, that I'm kind of a little bit distracted by the hops on it. I mean, it's not out of balance, but it really kind of overshadows.
I think they're both nice beers, but they're definitely different.
Very different.
Yeah, very different. Yeah.
And even talking about the color, the one is...
I mean, it's like a light brown ale almost.
Yeah, but it has those red tints and it's crystal clear.
Yeah.
Whereas two is, it's reddish, but it's almost a dark amber ale, and it's got a little haze to it going on.
Yeah, the clarity piece. Since I can't comment on the color red at all,
but honestly, they're both nice beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing objectionable in either.
Put a pint away. They're just very different interpretations of the style.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, but okay. So to add to that, though, which I think is cool, is I've never had the same kind of red ale from different breweries. I think the red ale is the one that's most open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
A lot of room.
Yeah, there is a lot of room, and you can have varied versions. So me personally, I'm enjoying both of them, but I'm enjoying both of them for different reasons. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I like the hoppier note out of 1B, but then I like the spicy, the deep, like,
roasty,
you know,
yeah.
This one is, I mean, 1B to me is like a fiery redhead. Like, she's the original. She's not a bottled version.
Lots of character.
Yeah. This one is like, what's really under the trunk kind of thing.
I would love to do with the first one. I would love to like use that to make a batter for like, you know, fish and chips. I think it would be fantastic to go along.
Yeah. Both of these would make a good base beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Dang it, now I want fish and chips.
Me too.
That's what I had for dinner last night.
Oh, so. Good on you.
Little did I know, I could have had this beer with it last night.
This is a fantastic beer for fish and chips. Yeah. This style goes so well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because it cuts through some of the oiliness.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, we'll be back with our final thoughts on the red in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So, today, it's a battle of the gnomes. We are pitting two breweries, one from Tennessee and one from Pennsylvania.
Mercies for the weak. We do not train to be merciful here.
Those gnomes, I gotta get
creepy.
A decoder ring for them or something. Some decoding ring. Anyways, these two beers that we have been discussing with the first part of this podcast was a red ale. So we have 1A and 1B. And then, of course, because we're extra, we went and we blended them too. So 1A, we are going to rate a 4. 1B, we are going to rate a 3. And then if we were to put 1A and 1B together, blended good old boy Kendall style, I'm going to say we're going to go with the 5.
Yeah, it was. During the break, Kendall got a little adventurous.
Yeah, because the thing I noticed, you know, we talked about the hops really standing out in two, and the roastiness in one, and that one was a little more dry, one was a little more sweet, and it's like they're very different interpretations, both good. But if you put all of these flavors together, I bet that work really well. So I did that about equal amounts. I mixed them together, and it was just a beautiful red ale. Everything you want.
Yeah. It really did
tamp down kind of the sharpness of either, and it kind of just all the flavor of the malt came out.
So when gnomes work together, that's when beautiful
the magic
happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they cooperative like Smurfs or?
So I read something that said gnomes are always born as twins.
Huh.
So maybe one was crazy and one liked to dance. And one they was got separated at birth.
And one was happy and one was crazy.
Yeah. And you brought them back together. Cool. Yeah.
But to be fair, I think both of these beers are really good. And no matter which one you drink, you will. I mean, they're both enjoyable.
No, they're both solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably some of the most enjoyable reds.
And you also got to give it to, I don't know, have we decided which one's which yet? Have you
She hasn't let us know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious about this.
So our runner up comes from Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yes. It's called She Knows Beer. It's an American red ale. 4.6% ABV. It's a vibrant red ale that was designed and brewed by the talented women at Dancing Gnome, woohoo, in collaboration with the Pittsburgh Brewery Diversity Council, which started in 2021 as a way of kind of going good stewardship to and helping to encourage diversity in the brewing industry.
Very cool.
And speaking of which, in Pennsylvania, the first Holy Black Brewery opened up this year in Harrisburg, our capital. Oh, so cool. I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice. One of the three brewers, I think there's three now, at Dancing Gnome is a young lady.
Yes. So
she's clearly knocking it out.
Yes, yeah. She is.
Well, and Pennsylvania's got a good history, too, with women brewers, right? It's Carol Stroud. Stroud's Brewery is from Pennsylvania. So,
Awesome.
Yes. So that's that. And then Crazy Gnome's beer is a little bit
was different. The winner.
It was. They call it a Red Hat Ale. This one is only 5% ABV, which I find interesting because it doesn't, I mean, it's so much
flavor.
It's got flavor.
A lot of flavor.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the fact that the Dancing Gnome beer, they went ahead and described it as an American red, that makes sense with the more hop forward profile.
Sure. Yeah. So I think if you're looking for an American red ale, knowing that there will be a little bit more hops involved, this is a really good example of that.
Well, I think it's great that, you know, right out of the gate, Tennessee has established its dominance over Pennsylvania. I think that's what really I got out of all of this.
Are the Titans playing the Steelers this season?
Really?
Probably at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that dominance works out.
We'll see. We're not scared.
Wow. Okay. And another thing about Red Hat is they do use rye malt for a clean, dry finish.
Look at that spice.
Spice. Yeah.
Check out the taste buds on Juliana.
Hey.
Don't be looking at her taste buds.
Okay.
So in that round, the young upstart.
I know.
Established experience.
Isn't that kind of cool?
It came out swinging.
Yeah.
That's within walking distance of my kids' middle school. I need to change up my game plan now.
Field trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Rock on. Let's go to round two. Okay. Round two is going to be the battle of the fest beers.
Ooh. These look completely different.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm looking at 2B here, and it's got the color of a Pilsner.
Is that quotation finger fest beer?
Huh.
Mm. Okay. I mean, it definitely has a lot of the flavors going for fest beer.
Very much.
Ooh, 1A is, or 2A is nice, though. That's kind of what I think about. 2A is what I think about when I think about a fest beer.
Yeah, especially same color and yeah.
Yeah, you know, are we talking the you know, malty Marzen, or are we talking about the easy drinking,
the lighter, you know, version,
the fest beer that you're meant to put down 2 or 3 liters?
And I wonder if that's challenge what accepted. We're running into. I think
that's
here.
What we're seeing here.
Yeah,
yeah. The again, the traditional versus the new. I think fest beer took over at the Oktoberfest, like in the 90s.
Yeah,
like
yeah, when it's not, really hasn't been around that long.
Yeah, but I mean, I love Marzen. I think it's just a
yeah, that's really I look forward to every year. That's kind of how much I can put away.
I actually look forward to both of these. You know, they're both Oktoberfest themed beers, but they come at it from different angles.
Well, Marzen like fills you up too. So like you switch off to fest beer to kind of give yourself a little break.
Yep.
Even with your palate too, because Marzen's such a rich, flavorful style, but this fest beer is like nice. It's still got flavor, but it's a little bit of a lighter kind of kickback.
Did they cancel Oktoberfest again this year?
Yes, they did.
Jeez, man. You know, I really miss the Rhizome Volksfest to me. I mean, that was such a fun time.
That was fun too, but yeah, you need to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, I know.
There's a few of us lobbying for it.
I had my dirndl pressed and everything, man. I was ready to go.
My lederhosen.
I do have some lederhosen I haven't broken out yet, and I need to.
Oh, I've broken out of some leaders. Wait, what are we talking about
here? I probably would break out of some leaders if I tried it.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. Kindle and leather shorts. Yes. Think about that, everybody.
Oh, my.
I'll wear them next time, Dave.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is just, I mean, very different. You know, 2A really feels like a more traditional Marzen, and then 2B really is, you know, kind of in that fest beer bucket.
Yeah. Both of these are good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing.
No slouches.
Yeah. Nothing going on here.
I'm impressed by both.
I mean,
but for different reasons.
I think we're drinking down a draw, in my opinion. Both are very solid beers and they do what they do very well. And it is not really fair to compare in any category, in any brewery, a Marzen versus a easy drinking fest beer.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of the danger you run into if you just use a generic term like fest beer.
Yep.
Because it could be both.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's what Oktoberfest has come to mean, too. You never know what you're getting when you buy a modern Oktoberfest, especially if you've never had it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Juliana and I did a little short episode and covered some fest beers. And I think all three ended up being Marzens, but one of them leaned more towards the lighter.
Well, and I think you can blame Sam Adams a little bit for that too, because they've created such a dominant, made the name well known, and it's quite a bit different, you know, than what we consider. Well,
I blame Sam Adams for a lot of things.
Right.
You know, I mean.
But even, I think all the big brewers have done that. Sierra Nevada changes up their Oktoberfest beer every year. And they've gone the range from easy drinking fest beer to a nice to a toasty Marzen.
Marzen.
I've had a lot of Bell's Oktoberfest this year, and that one's really
solid
and just, you know, really what I want. And I've been drinking a lot of other Oktoberfest, and I just keep gravitating back towards the Bell's.
Yeah.
So I would say in that regard, 2A is closer to what Bell's is doing with their Oktoberfest.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, there's a little more malt character to it that than
for I sure. feel like
two B
is more like because we had the Urban Chestnut from St. Louis, and I feel like theirs is more on the lighter fest beer side. But yeah, I mean, and that's one really cool thing about it too. It's like you can get both. You get the best of both worlds.
You know. On 2B, I'm getting more alcohol out of the end of it, which is unusual because I, you know, don't usually associate that with the style, but I don't know. I'm kind of getting like a little burn there.
Well, Juliana spiked yours.
Okay. So. Well, that explains a lot.
With some hard seltzer.
Was it a roofie colada this time? Because, all right.
Yes. We'll tell you when you wake up.
Yes. Well, I had to get, you know, keep him here for a while because he's so busy.
That's right.
Well,
back to the gnome storage.
Okay. So, a couple of thoughts. First of all, this year seems to be like this summer was the summer of Pilsners, and this fall seems to be the fall of the Oktoberfest. Like, I'm so happy that so many breweries have embraced this style and done their interpretation. There's just been so many great Oktoberfests this year. And it's the type of thing where, like, I want to keep drinking it, even like past October, you know?
Yeah.
Get some schnitzel.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just a colder version of a lawnmower beer in my eyes.
isn't it transitional?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how craft brewers have now realized that easy drinking lagers sell well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Right?
Weird,
don't say.
It's only like 98% of the beer sold in the world are easy drinking lagers. And it's like, okay, craft finally figured that out. Yeah. People like beer that they can drink.
Yeah.
Sure.
And not get totally wasted on a barrel aged Neapolitan, you know, Sunday or something like that.
Is this,
I mean, there's a time and place for that.
Is this pendulum swinging back from lactose beers?
You know, I hope so.
God, I hope so. But no.
I think we need a ban on lactose in beer, except for milk stout.
Reinheitsgebot 2.0, right? Yeah.
There's a good reason for those laws, let me tell you.
Well, when those milkshake seltzers started coming out, you know, that's
weird.
So.
Okay, so overall on 2A, I mean, the color, traditional E fest beer. Mm. And we are going to rate this a 4. Okay, 2B, a little lighter in color, but still, dare say, it's still a traditional fest
so
beer.
The 2A, the kind of the Marzen, 2B, sort of the
fest beer.
Not to be, you know, that is the question. See what I did there? You know what? I'm giving myself one of those.
Okay, and 2B, we will rate that one a 3.
Okay, a three. So
I'm in between.
Not the tie. Yeah, I mean,
2.5. 3.5.
It's a high 3.
Very high.
But I think it falls into that category of where the beer with the more flavor tends to get more points.
Okay.
You know, that's what happens with a lot of like session IPAs when you taste them with, you know, normal IPAs. Well, they just tend to not get the extra credit.
For me on the fest beer, it just wasn't as clean finishing as I wanted. This should be super clean finishing. Okay. This one had a little extra going on.
That's
in
what
the
I was saying. At the end, there was something that just didn't quite. It's weird.
What booziness?
I'm kind of curious to find that out whenever the maestro reveals.
Yeah, and I also feel like 2B could play in other styles in the lager category. You know, something with like maybe like not a Maybach, but you know, definitely along those lines.
Maybe like an American lager, almost like not a light lager, but just like a regular American lager. I don't think it's got adjuncts in it, but still.
I think, I mean, 2A. Definitely very traditional. I mean, both in color, but in style. And I think this beer was brewed to style and very classic.
Yes.
2B, I feel, was a little bit more modern, maybe, you know, in terms like I enjoy their interpretation. So if you're splitting hairs, I think that it's safe to say that 2A was the down the middle classic.
Yeah.
And 2B was a little like breathing a little bit of new life into what a fest beer would be. Okay. That being said, 2A was a 5.8% ABV beer from Tennessee. And
two B
was a 4.5% ABV beer from Pennsylvania.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here again, though, both beers are good.
No, they are.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have hoisted and emptied a stein of either one of those, maybe several.
Exactly. Yes. But what I, it's hard like now tasting both of them side by side and knowing what they are. I like the traditionalness of 2A, but I'm also really digging what Dancing Gnome did and kind of putting their own little twist on it. You know, because one of the things that I love about that brewery is they take traditional styles and they don't go completely off the rails, but they do their interpretation of it. Are you okay?
Yep.
What happened?
Oh, I skipped ahead to the threes.
Well, that's going to be interesting for the rest of us.
Yeah. For those playing along at home, Sparky here just made a very interesting face.
I thought he pulled a muscle.
Actually, both things happened concurrently, I think.
They had a bit of a spasm.
Okay, then.
Here we go.
Wow. Okay. So I think this is cool because, again, not all beers are the same, you know, and mm-hmm. you can have different interpretations. All right. Let's move on then to round number three. Thank you.
Hey.
That was really sweet.
That's me.
Okay. So round three, the colors completely different. The styles completely different. Right. Okay.
This is for all the marbles. This is it.
All of them.
Yes. Really? Gnomes play with marbles?
Sure. Because they're, well, like for gnomes, a marble's like a bowling ball.
Yeah, that's right.
They're tiny.
Okay.
They're big. Did you guys ever see the old Disney movie, like from the late 60s, the Gnome Mobile? Did you guys ever see that?
No. I don't remember that.
Oh, no, seriously.
I feel like this is something Disney has kept locked in the vaults.
I bet you could find it on Disney Plus, but it had like the same little boy and little girl from Mary Poppins. They like just cut and pasted that into this movie about this grandfather who had a beautiful 1930s Rolls Royce, and he was selling a ton of timberland, and so it had like an environmental message. It was like late 60s. Nobody, anyone? It's a real movie, The Gnome Mobile.
Wow, July 12th, 1967.
Okay, yeah. All right, it's kind of that whole like live action Mary Poppins kind of.
Sure. Yeah. While driving through the forest with his grandchildren, Elizabeth and Rodney, lumber tycoon DJ Mulrooney, stumbles across a duo of tiny gnomes.
Of course, he's a tycoon.
A duo of tiny gnomes.
Because they were twins. See?
There you go. And when the lumber company's head of security hears the story, he thinks that Mulrooney has lost his mind and has him committed.
Cuckoo.
Now, the grandchildren need to free the old man and also rescue the little gnomes who were kidnapped by a freak show promoter.
There you go.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
They packed a lot into that.
I mean, I was a child in the 70s, so I bet I've seen this, but I probably have repressed those memories.
Yeah, you probably woke up screaming.
Well, you know, Disney did a ton of those live action movies that, like, we, you know, not the animated
from,
stuff.
Escape from Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
Did they do the computer Chitty Chitty Bang Bang movies? Yeah.
I don't know if that was Disney.
I feel like that was.
It might have been.
They, of course, how can we forget Song of the South?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard to beat the Herbie movies.
The computer that wore sneakers like, you know, those first Jeff Bridges, like, got his start doing that before Hit the Dude.
And then didn't they also do the Benji movies?
I don't know.
I feel like that was something they did.
Yeah.
Could be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There was like some sort of devices that would tell us this stuff. Yes. Maybe a website.
Yes.
Okay. Battle three continues in just a minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows. All as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. So now, this is round three. This is for all the marbles and all of the gnomes in Gnomeland.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
One of the greatest scenes of all time by gnomes.
Wow.
You don't want to have him talking about getting certain things off of certain planes, right?
No.
I mean, if we had a gnome version of that, that would just be the icing on the cake, right?
You know
there.
What? Or Ezekiel 25:17. I'd take that too.
When we do the gnome fight rematch,
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll have to be a rematch. Yeah. Here.
Wow. When we find some more gnomes to yeah. come to battle.
That's right.
Yeah. I think wow. we need to do a new gnome show at least once a year.
Now sponsored by Noom.
I mean, I will happily go to Pittsburgh to pick up more Dancing Gnome.
Okay.
I feel like we got to get some beer from Nome, Alaska, too. Just
there you go. Oh, yes.
I mean, I know it's spelled without a G, but I mean, still. Alaska just needs to get on board with the
everybody
G and O and me.
Until someone yells, Nome Moss. You know?
I'm sorry, America. I'm sorry for all of us.
Wow. Okay, that's wow. Okay.
Is that a war face? Ah! That's a war face.
Feisty little suckers, aren't they?
Because it's round three. This is the. Okay. This is it, man. Okay. This is the final.
The final countdown.
Wow.
No. Yes. Okay, so two completely different looking beers. One is light
and tasting.
One is dark. Okay. What are our thoughts on 3A, and what might we think it is?
Hmm. It's kind of smooth.
It is. It's very light and refreshing.
Fest beer?
I think.
And no.
Definitely, I think higher ABV. There's copy a little, your profile.
A little sharpness in there, but.
Kind of feels like a pale ale that just quite isn't.
Maybe a light ESB.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something going on with this. Yeah. I'm not sure what it is yet.
So let's think about Fritz Maytag for a minute.
Okay. I know where you're going.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So are we allowed to say steam, or do we have to refer to it
as California common? I was going to say use the more common name.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Nerds.
So I think we were dancing around it, but just
disappointed. Yeah.
So now I'm focusing you. Okay. Yeah. So 3A is... what I feel is a nice interpretation of a California common. And again, a beer style that we don't see a lot of.
No.
God, when's the last time you actually drank one?
Last year. Yeah.
I drank an Anchor Steam probably 3-4 months ago.
Really?
I haven't had one forever. I'm going to have that.
I've got a friend in Chicago. They've got like the big 19-ounce cans Anchor up there. And he like is showing me them all the time. I'm like, why don't we have that here?
Because I think the last time I had a taste of it was the last time we went to GABF. Like whatever, 4 years ago.
I think 2017.
They actually had a booth and were serving it. And we got little pins. I remember that.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah. I'll definitely be revisiting it here in January. I'm teaching a class on beer at a local university. And that is on the first night. I do the one thing students hate is I lecture on the first night of class, but it's kind of here's how we got to where we're sitting here tonight. And Anchor Steam in Sierra Nevada is one of those beers that,
that's great.
You know, it's like, hey, here are two styles. Well, first off, Anchor Steam, thank you, Fritz Maytag, for being the godfather of the American craft beer.
Bringing good beer.
And then we also, I try to find something from Dogfish Head's Ancient Ale series. And then the other one is Pilsner Urquell. So four beers that, classics. You know, have had, you know, some huge impact or at least an approximation of what beer tasted like. So as far as steam beers go, this is very tasty.
So this beer from this particular brewery as a California common is 5.2% ABV.
That's right in the wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's about right.
Yeah.
I wish they had a little more hop character. That's one of the things I love about Anchor Steam. Yeah. They use those Northern Brewer hops, and it's just, I love that flavor.
Funny, there was a discussion that broke out on a local homebrew group that said he wanted to brew a steam beer, but did not want to use the Northern Brewer hops because his wife didn't like the minty flavor that they impart. So
that's part of it.
It's part of it. I agree. But there was a lot of good suggestions there on some other hops to use. Yeah. You know, definitely more on the noble side of things, you know, low bittering. Or if you're going to use a high bittering hop, just use a small amount as a bittering addition. But it's definitely a style I like.
Okay, so for those that aren't aware of what a California common is, or steam beer, as Fritz came up with, it's a hybrid style that is very unique to us here in the United States. It's brewed with a special strain of lager yeast that works better at warmer temperatures. So for the traditional lager, you're not going to get like super crispiness. It's a little, like I would say it's a tiny bit softer, and it dates back to the late 1800s. So I think that's kind of cool that this particular brewery decided to brew that style. So based on that style and based on what you're tasting, color, etc., what would we be rating this beer?
Regular. That.
I'm.
It's
It sounds good to the old jazz hand.
We're gonna go with a 4 for this beer. In particular. Okay. Now, B.
Totally
completely
different.
Completely different.
For something totally different.
Exactly.
And I don't think you'll guess the style. But you might.
Maybe you will. I mean, we do have some... We do have some extra special palates here.
We do.
I mean, I'm... When I first tasted this last time, I thought it was a Rausch beer at first, but then I was like, I don't know if I'm like just thrown off.
That's an interesting call. Like I don't get, do you get smoke?
Because I thought I did.
I'm getting something that's smoke-ish.
Yeah.
Some phenols of some sort.
Definitely some phenolic, for sure.
Definitely phenolic. A little bit of candy syrup. Maybe a little bit in there is what I originally picked up.
Yeah. My mouth's starting to dry out. It's a little papery.
It's a dry finish. Is this supposed to be a Belgian style?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
But not Trappist.
Okay.
It's not a Trappist style.
Well,
Old Ale? Yeah.
No.
Mm. Oh, God, no.
Think of... It's an imperial version of a style.
Like a Russian imperial?
Imperial brown.
No.
No.
It's got the color.
So.
I mean, it's super. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say.
So this is an imperial black saison.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh. So, yeah, there's that.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. That
wrap that around
would never
your
have
head.
Guessed that one.
No. But then again, how many Imperial Black Saisons have you had?
But
in your
a lot,
life?
A lot makes sense now. I mean, a lot. Okay. Makes
so the
sense.
Some of these characters we're getting those phenols now makes sense with that Belgian
from the yeast.
Right. But that's where it's coming from. Not Belgian yeast that went the right way. I feel like it's Belgian yeast that took a left turn.
Right,
it's missing something that you really want in a saison.
Mm-hmm. Like those peppery notes,
right?
And the dry notes.
Yeah, if that's there, it's like totally plowed over. Like I couldn't pick that up if I tried.
I just don't get like why people make imperial versions of some styles. Like some styles,
they like to get drunk.
Yeah, I mean the saison guidelines are some of the only ones that have three different strength levels in the BJCP, going all the way from like 3.2 up to about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
So you can do big ABV saisons, but they really get finicky once you get over 7, and it's a lot of work to make them balance out right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't feel like this is particularly balanced personally. I mean, it's interesting. God, that's a death sentence.
I thought it was a like when we first tried it before, like I thought
I just
want to
be friends
because of the, you know, the phenols and everything. But
yeah, I mean that, yeah, my first swig of this would definitely kind of made me twerk a little bit.
Yeah, there's something cloying in the mid palate that's sweet and just kind of, it's like stuck. And I mean, I see where you get the candy sugar thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of gets stuck there. It's weird.
I agree.
This one is 8.1% ABV. And they say that it has the aroma with notes of sweet honey, spice, and pepper. And I'm getting a little bit of peppery,
not as much as I want.
Okay. In this style.
Okay.
But it's, you're right, it's there. There's a little
bit. Spice.
Yeah, there's some general spice.
I guess, honey.
It's like an Old Spice.
Oh!
Sorry.
Wow. Yeah, this, I really think this is one they just need to give another try. It feels like it wasn't fermented at the right temperatures or at the right, you know, for the right amount of times. So there's something that went wrong with this.
Those Belgian yeast, man, they're got to treat them right.
Because they are tricky.
They are the star of the show.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a Saison or a Trappist beer or whatever, the yeast is the thing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The yeast is a thing. And that's why a true Belgian style ale, I mean, from the old world is just, it dominates. It really does.
Because like it's just so.
I mean, it's so. It's so beautiful. It's so well crafted. It's, I mean, I hate to say it's a thing of beauty, but it's a thing of beauty.
It
you
is.
Have to be in the right mindset for it, but once you're there, it's just absolutely gorgeous. Okay,
I can always get into a DuPont mindset.
Oh,
well, yeah. Sure.
Right now.
Slide right into it.
Yeah.
Right now.
Exactly. But I think for this particular brewery that's trying to do something innovative, I thought it was an interesting take. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't have thought of doing this at all. So, I mean, kudos to their creativity.
Well, they can't all be home runs.
No, they can't, but not bad.
It reminds me, my grandpa Sparks always used to say, well, you don't taste anything like that every day. He had like a million of those.
He's kind of right.
Yeah. I think in theory, a dark, high-strength Saison's a really good idea. I mean, it mm-hmm. does fit some of those really high-end guidelines, but just keep trying, because this one needs a little work, but I think if they nailed it, it will be gorgeous.
True. So we are going to rate this one a 2. Okay. So all right.
Go big or go home.
And do tell.
Yes.
What
do we got? Yeah. What is happening here?
who won this cage fight?
This cage fight, Dancing Gnome won the cage fight because they had the California Common.
Wow.
And Crazy Gnome had their, what they call it, Chaotic Dreams, mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of appropriate in the scheme of things.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah. But still very interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, I think this is a great example of a brewery getting its legs under them. I mean, they've only been around for about a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is thing, learning these skills to manage these yeast takes time.
Oh,
and they'll they'll figure it out. It'll be great.
They especially will.
Brewing
at
a volume, like higher, you know, like maybe they made this as a home brew or something. And it
yeah,
like
I bet you're right about that.
Killed it at like 5 gallons, but like Sean will scaled tell it. You, that's a whole scaling different
scale
it
up,
game.
Especially when you get in the higher ABVs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your yeast are incredibly important at that point, and you know, you need to take good care of them and make sure, especially on the higher ABV stuff, you're pitching the yeast that you need to ferment cleanly and ferment out the way it's supposed to.
Or you just throw in a whole bunch of adjuncts at the end, and it's all, it's all done.
Yeah,
problem solved.
You've got an imperial lactose, saison.
You know, there's a market for that. I mean, I'm not it, but
yeah,
it's a thing.
Just break it down and make it a seltzer. That's all I would do.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Well,
and I think they got hit by the tornado too.
They did. So that's what delayed their opening.
They Bless were
their hearts. Yeah.
They were. Almost ready to open into February 2020, ready to go. And then the tornado came through Nashville.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, we got slammed July, with a nasty tornado.
March 1st, wasn't it?
Yeah, just weeks before everything shut down.
Yeah.
Well, while we're... Okay, so I think it's safe to say that for this Battle Royale, okay, the newer brewery, the Crazy Gnome, I think they're off to an amazing start.
They are.
For sure.
And I think their two style beers are rather impressive. And I think with a little bit of time, I think they'll be outstanding. Now, this beer, I'm doing a little extra special last-minute thing.
Yeah. Yes. Dessert.
Dessert.
Not bad.
So this is an American Pale Ale from Dancing Gnome. This is the beer that started everything for this brewery.
Oh, interesting.
What's the name?
Lustre. It's called Lustre. This is, it's a hazy American pale. It's 5.8% hopped with Amarillo and Citra.
Yeah, get that for sure.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
And this is absolutely gorgeous.
I really like this.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's absolutely gorgeous. And to me, this is the epitome of what Dancing Gnome is.
Super clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really good about their hops. They're really good about their pales and their IPAs. And
that's how they started. They only did hop forward beers in the beginning, but then they started expanding out.
Good for them, man.
And this one, while hoppy and hazy, is not too filling. It's pretty crushable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not hop burn either.
No. Yeah. Right. So last minute here, we're going to rate the Lustra from Dancing Gnome a 4. Well, I think this was a very interesting battle royale today, and that's going to do it for us. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, please do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Tap that subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We'd love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news that might be meta in the future.
Oh, God.
You'll also be able to interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Well, I want to thank all of our hostesses. Well, me being the hostesses. Yeah. And all of our hosts for today. Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure, always, especially this time.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer on beermakes3.com, and follow us on Instagram.
Yay. Good old boy Sparky, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, but do I have to go back into the gnome box after this?
Yeah.
Get back in the box.
Sorry, dude. Good old boy Sean, thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Maybe one day I will DJ a polka party again on Twitch at my handle, DJ Polka Party 1810. But until then, just listen to some good polka music when you get the chance.
Yes. Good old boy awesome. Dave.
I won't consider it life until the day he DJs another polka party. So
cool. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.